Well, welcome everybody to the Saturday version of COVID-19 Daily Update. I did want to acknowledge that this is the running of the Arkansas Derby, which is an annual tradition in Arkansas, and it's certainly under a different environment, but that's still a source of Arkansas pride that you have such a nationally recognized Derby race here in the state. And they did give me some face masks that they have ready to go when they're back in operation for their employees, which they're not fully in operation now, of course. But I want to wish them well on today's Arkansas Derby Day. I'm glad to be joined by Dr. Nate Smith, Secretary of Health. We also have Director A.J. Geary today to give a report on our PPE or our personal protective equipment. In terms of our case update, yesterday we had 3,321 cases in Arkansas of COVID-19. We're up 51, which brings us to 3,372 cases. Of those, four in the Department of Corrections. Hospitalizations have increased by five, so we're at 100 in hospitalizations. In terms of death, Dr. Smith will elaborate on this. We actually have an increase of nine, which is 73. Two of those are in the Department of Corrections. So we have our, very sadly, we've had two inmates that have passed away because of COVID-19, and the Department of Corrections will be issuing a release on that later today. And then six of those are from nursing home deaths that had not been previously properly classified and reported, and so that's a little bit old news, but it adds to the total for bringing it up to 73. In the last 24 hours, we've done 1,521 tests, and so we are still having that stepped up measure of testing that we hope will continue to be able to increase in Arkansas. In reference to the prison system, I did want to add that I just checked with Secretary Kelly, and the numbers in the Arkansas prison system, both the Department of Corrections and the Department of Community Corrections, has decreased by 380 since this statewide health emergency has happened. And so the prison population has decreased, which is intentional on our part, so that we can have space in the event we have an outbreak in another institution, so we have room for isolation and making sure that we can protect the inmates that might test positive. Let me go to the charts today, and these again are the number of new COVID-19 cases in Arkansas. And just to orient you, this is 100 cases. And so the peak was at 300 new cases in a day. And you can see the decline in new cases fairly steadily since its peak. And so we're going in the right direction. Again, I remind everybody that that could spike at any moment, but we look at the overall trajectory and it is going in the right direction. The next graphic shows the 7-day rolling average of new cases in Arkansas on the orange line, and here again you show the regular decline over the last 10 to 12 days. And then if you go to the next graphic, this is, I don't believe we've used this before, so this is instructive, but if you recall on the gating criteria that the White House at Coronavirus Task Force released, it had as one of the second criteria, 14 days of decline in the new cases in a state, or in the alternative, a decline in positivity of the COVID-19 test. And so we haven't shown this before, I've talked about it, but this shows that the height was a 25% positivity rate. In other words, of every test that's given, whether it's 1,500, 25% of those would be positive, 75% would be negative. And actually, we reached 32% positive on a very early date. But as you can see from the height of here of 25%, we've had about 12 days of steady decline in the positivity rate. As Dr. Smith noted, we're at such a low rate of positivity now that it's sort of hard to continue to go down, but it's easy to measure it, and we like the trajectory of that positivity rate that we see. And then, let me see if there's one more. This is, I think, the final graph that I was going to go over, which is to break down on the different testing facilities in our state. The red are the commercial labs. The white is UAMS, and the orangish color is the Department of Health. And so you can see, our height, we had 2,800 in one day of tests, and then we're right now at about 1,500, which we've tried to maintain since we had the surge effort here in the state of Arkansas. Just to put today in perspective, we've gone through a week of lifting some of the restrictions as we move into May the 4th, from restaurants to gyms to elective surgery. So sequentially, we've lifted some of the restrictions with very careful approach, and it's phased in so it doesn't all happen on the same time frame. And I think this is a very cautious approach that our state is taking. On Monday, we will be having an announcement in terms of guidelines in reference to our houses of worship and some of our larger venues. And so that will be something that we were working hard on getting ready for Monday, May the 4th. There's been comments in the national media the last couple of days, both by Dr. Osterholm at the University of Minnesota and Dr. Fauci, that this is coronavirus is likely to be with us this fall. And Dr. Osterholm says it could even be for a longer period of time than that. Dr. Smith and I had a conversation about that, and I'll let him comment on it. But regardless of whether that's right or wrong, we are preparing for the long term here in the state of Arkansas by our contact tracing capacity, by our beefing up of our Department of Health infrastructure to meet these challenges if they come back in the fall, to be able to have the level of testing that we need here in the state of Arkansas, and then to continue to emphasize social distancing and the wearing of masks. These are the steps that we have to take as a state in order to be able to be prepared in the event we do have a long struggle with the coronavirus in the future. With that, I'll ask Dr. Smith if he could come and make his comments.
Thank you, Governor. I'll start by giving a little bit more detail on the numbers and then a few other things I'd like to talk about. As the governor mentioned, we had 51 new cases. Of these, four were correctional related from the Federal Correctional Institute. Those are not new cases. They were cases that we've just gotten into our system. We are still constant there at 135 inmates and 13 staff and contractor. We have no new counties. Our total cases are 3,372. Our active cases are 1,312. We have 100 hospitalized. That's five more than yesterday. We've been pretty flat with that. Currently on the ventilator is 20. That's three fewer than yesterday. And as the governor mentioned, we are up to 73 deaths. Three of those are deaths that have occurred over the last 24 hours. Two among Cummins inmates who were hospitalized. They had been hospitalized for several days. At least one of them was on a ventilator, and one was from the community. The six others were deaths that occurred in the last days to weeks that had not gotten into our system properly. But that brings our total nursing home deaths to 28 for the state. We have currently 233 nursing home residents who have tested positive. That's four more than yesterday. And 145 workers at nursing home staff. That's three more than yesterday. And we have 40 nursing homes where we're we have ongoing investigations. We have 1,987 recovered. That's up 14 from yesterday. I wanted to, if we could show the next slide, when we're talking about personal protective equipment, one thing that we now have in the state to help us with that is a PPE decontaminator. This is a machine that is built and operated by a company called Battelle. We received it about a week ago, and it's sited at the Goodwill Industries site. Was delivered there. That's at Scott Hamilton Drive. This will be using peroxide to decontaminate personal protective equipment, and its maximum capacity is 80,000 masks per day. We probably won't start out with the full capacity, but the way that will work is that hospitals and clinics will be able to bag their masks and either drop them off or send them through a prepaid FedEx delivery. And then they'll have a special code after they get an account with Battelle. This is free to them, but the account makes sure that we can get the PPE that they delivered back to them. So they're getting back the same masks that they sent. And initially, the turnaround, we hope, will be about 24 hours. The maximum turnaround will be 72 hours. So this is something that hopefully will be up and running next week, but is a benefit to us, and it's being paid for by the federal government. This is one of 60 that have been deployed throughout the country. The last thing that I wanted to touch base on is yesterday when we put out our directive on barber and beauty shops, we had excluded the schools of the barber and beauty schools. We have since changed that directive, so those are included as well, as long as they can meet the other requirements of the directive. If those barber and beauty schools would like to start up on the 6th, they can as well. And with that, I'll go ahead and turn it back over to the governor.
Thank you, Dr. Smith. And I ask Director A.J. Gary, who's and his team at ADEM, Department of Emergency Management, has really worked hard in getting our PPE out in the distribution network. And I wanted him, A.J., to come and give an update.
Thank you, Governor. I think as everybody knows, there's been a struggle throughout this event, throughout the nation, to get the adequate number of PPE for our healthcare professionals and our first responders. Thanks to the leadership of Governor Hutchinson, we were able in this state to make some large quantity purchases and have those shipped into the state. We have those shipments coming in on a fairly regular basis now, so pretty much weekly. It was a team effort to do this with the expertise from the Department of Health and UAMS on purchasing the correct PPE. And with our federal surplus property, which is part of the Division of Emergency Management, we were able to utilize that warehouse. So as PPE is being shipped in, that team is breaking it down along with the assistance of our National Guard personnel. We can break it down and we can get it sent out to hospital coalitions, private clinics, and so forth. So it's truly been a team effort to have all of these people involved in it so we can make sure that we're getting the PPE in, but also getting it out as quickly as we possibly can. We, in addition to that, some of the private supply chain is opening back up. So we are encouraging, and we have seen where hospitals and clinics are purchasing from their normal processes that what they were doing before the pandemic. So between those limited purchases and what the state's been able to do, I think we have a pretty good adequate supply that will be coming in over the next few weeks, and we continue to push that out. As far as the cloth mask, with the opening up of different things, there's a lot of people are looking for the cloth mask with the restaurants and gyms and so forth. So we worked with economic development to get a list of vendors, most of those here are Arkansas companies that are selling these. So we're pushing that list out to the Chamber of Commerce so they can get that to the restaurants and gym owners and so forth. And also pushing it out to our county and city officials so that we can get that information out. But in addition to that, just like the one I'm holding, you can get these locally. This one was purchased from our local farmers market there in Valonia. So we have a lot of people that are making these and are making them available for people. So I think, Governor, right now we're doing pretty good on PPE. We'll keep working that issue and make sure that we have an adequate supply coming in and going out. So thank you, sir.
Thank you. And with that, we'll take any questions. Yes, ma'am.
I was wondering if you could give any information about the two inmates that have died. Can you talk about how old they were, if they had any existing health issues?
Dr. Smith.
Both of these inmates were in their 60s, and they both had multiple medical conditions, underlying medical conditions.
How long have they been hospitalized?
I don't have the exact information with me, but they had been hospitalized, each of them, for several days.
When we talk about the possibility of a resurgence in the fall, does the state have sufficient testing capacity and capacity for contact tracing to be able to catch a rise before it starts to overwhelm healthcare facilities or before it starts to get out of control?
The answer is we're building that capacity. Actually, right now, we do have sufficient capability in contact tracing, but Dr. Smith is continually trying to improve it. And again, to illustrate it, when we started this whole emergency, we had three nurses that did contact tracing. And now it's well over 150, I think it's about 180, I think is the last number that I heard. And he will continue to build that capacity in contact tracing. And then we're building it in the infrastructure. As you noticed on our barbers and hair salons, when they make an appointment, they're to keep the information so that in the event we did have to do tracing, we know that we have a capability of doing it. So everything is geared toward that capacity of contact tracing and that infrastructure that we need to make sure that whatever happens in the future, we'll be able to address it quickly. Is there anyone remotely that has a question?
Yes. Hi, Governor. This is Chelsea Helms with Fox 24 KNWA in Fayetteville. How do you respond to allegations that inmates are hungry and scared because of the DOC's handling of the outbreak within the Cummins unit?
Well, the question is in reference to inmates and their concerns that they have. As you can see, the inmates that have COVID-19 are isolated, quarantined, just like anybody in the public sector would be. Obviously, their freedom is more restricted in the barracks. If they become ill, they get the care that they need. Because remember, many of those that were positive for COVID-19 were not symptomatic, so we're actually able to identify that positivity early on. And then if they become symptomatic, they get the right care, and they obviously have access to the hospitals and will be hospitalized just like anyone else will get that level of care. In terms of the routine feeding, and I've asked on numerous occasions as to give me the information on, of course, they are fed and they have the medical care that they need. And then they also have the hygiene equipment and products that they need that's available to them. Yes, I saw a question here a minute ago.
I was just wondering, a couple of malls opened up this weekend. Can you speak on that? Any advice for shoppers that want to go out and also employees that want to stay safe as well?
Great question, and this really reflects the independence. It reflects the good judgment of our Kansans. And so while we did not close in a shelter-in-place order, we didn't close the malls, we didn't close any of the retail shops, but it was a fall-off of consumer demand that caused many of these retail shops to go ahead and voluntarily close or restrict their operations. And now they're moving back open again, and it's a matter of consumer confidence. And so if the shoppers go out today, wear a mask, follow the guidelines of the retail shop, and to make sure that you do your social distancing. I'm very proud of the shop owners that are taking necessary steps to make sure their facility is safe and that they protect their customers and their employees. So this is the new life that we have, and I hope that we get out, I hope that we spend money, but that we make sure that we follow these guidelines. And I want to invite Dr. Smith. I've commented on a couple of areas here, and you might have something to add.
Certainly. Thank you, Governor. The important thing is, as people get out and about, is to remember the 6-foot physical distancing. Remember to be careful about what you touch, and washing hands, using hand sanitizer frequently. We want people to get used to some of the new normal of dealing with COVID-19, not to take unnecessary risks, but to learn how to go about your business in a way that is safe and does not promote the spread of COVID-19. As the governor mentioned, there's lots of comments and thoughts about how long we'll be dealing with this, we'll go away and then come back, or how long. The short answer is no one really knows. We never have actually had a virus like this. Many experts have drawn on past experience with other viruses, particularly the only thing as big as this in our recorded history was the 1918 pandemic influenza. That was a worldwide cause shutdown of many activities. Did have a second wave, and it lasted about 2 years. Should point out that this is not influenza, and this is not 1918, so it's a little bit difficult to know. As the governor said, though, we really are in this for the long haul. We clearly here in Arkansas have not had that high, sharp peak with the massive number of hospitalizations and deaths and then dropping off. What we have seen is a gradual increase, and although we do seem to be going down, it's a pretty flat curve, and we need to be prepared to be dealing with this for some time. Even if we were perfect in our prevention of COVID-19 transmission here in Arkansas, we're not an island. We're surrounded by other states, most of which have higher rates of COVID-19 per population. So we need to be prepared to handle this for the long haul. And as the governor mentioned, we've been building our testing capacity, building our contact tracing capacity. We still do have ways to go, but I think we're making good progress, and I think that's being reflected in our numbers. As we go back to more normal activities in phase 1, phase 2, hopefully phase 3, there'll be additional challenges in terms of our testing capacity and our case and contact investigation capacity.
Yes.
It's been reported that a lot of people have had difficulty with filing for unemployment. Are any of those problems, are those problems getting ironed out? Are people, are they able to start getting these claims processed, or is there still a backlog?
Well, I mean, there's still challenges there, but just because of the volume. And we've had over 150,000 that have been processed and are receiving unemployment compensation. So the system is working. It's just that every week we have new individuals that are added to the unemployment rolls, regretfully. And so the claims continue. And so I know that, you know, the system, while we've beefed it up, we've enhanced it, we've got our call center, there's still delays in getting the right information, and quite frankly, you know, if they've got to make sure that they use the system right. In other words, we have a lot of people that are calling the unemployment call line when they really need, they're self-employed and don't qualify for it, and so they're continuing to call and get frustrated because they don't have access to it. Well, there's a different system that we hope goes online the first part of next week. And then there's naturally mistakes that are made on both ends. Something's not filled out right, or they might not qualify for it. And so there's always going to be some frustration in the system and the processing, but incredible work's being done to make sure that these are processed as quickly as possible and that those that really are in need, which there's many, gets the help that they need.
Follow up on that real quickly. You said a separate system for self-employed is going online next week. How will that be accessed? Will that be online or through the, will it be through the Employment Security Division or?
There is a website that is there for that purpose that they can actually enter their email address in now, and that I believe is in the Department of Commerce website. DFNA is helping to build the system. They're testing it this weekend. Hopefully it will be moving out next week. But again, we've had to build a completely new system for those that are self-employed, but under the new rules are entitled to get compensation. And that's so critically important because I think about those that are self-employed, the barbers, the salon operators that have been out. They need that income, and I'm glad that we can make sure that it goes back to the beginning whenever they became unemployed, and hopefully they'll start that income as well. So that'll be a boost to them. I know it's been a tough time. One question from the table, and we'll see if there's anything else remotely.
This is a question about restaurant workers with capacity at 30% and likely fewer patrons. Some servers might make less money going back to work than they have been on unemployment. So is there any kind of safety net for these people?
Well, I mean, first of all, I hope that we all tip very generously to the workers in the restaurants, that they're not going to have the same level of tip income because they have less volume in the restaurants. And so I'm sure the owners will be adjusting the staffing as well. So it's not the ideal circumstance, but it is moving us forward in that phase one environment. You know, in terms of, you know, if there's a job opportunity, they're supposed to go back to work. If it's not full-time or if they're not called back, they would be able to continue to get their unemployment compensation. Remotely, is there any other questions remotely?
Governor.
Yeah, Governor, this is Jay.
All right, I heard the lady first, and then we'll go to the gentleman.
Okay, thank you, Governor. I was wondering if you could tell us a little bit about the inmates who did die. I'm asking you this because I know that certain inmates are eligible for early release as a result of this pandemic. So do we know why they were incarcerated and how much longer they had on those sentences?
I do, but I don't know that we're releasing that information. They've passed away. They were in the maximum security unit at Cummins, which means they either had a life sentence or they had a violent crime or they were disciplinary issues while they were in prison. So it was a very serious environment in which they were incarcerated. And so that's the facility that had the positive cases. In terms of the overall prison environment, that's the reason I pointed out, I think it was 380 has been reduced from the prison population, and that's based upon the review of cases so that if someone is a nonviolent, non-sex offender within 6 months of their release date, then the Board of Corrections and the Parole Board reviews those cases, and if it's a good parole plan, they can go ahead and be released. And so, you know, we've reduced the population in the other facilities by 380 as a result of that action. The gentleman on the remote that has a question.
Yeah, Governor, this is Jay over KRK. I was wondering, I know we've talked about getting dentists and things like that back in order, but has any thought been given to optometrists at all? I just haven't heard that industry brought up.
Yeah, so I heard optometrists. What was the first one that you mentioned? Dentists, you said.
Well, I know I know we've mentioned dentists, and I know that's coming in a couple of weeks, but I didn't know if optometrists were going to be wrapped into that sort of same timeline or not.
Yeah, Jay, great question. I'll ask Dr. Smith to respond about optometrists.
Yes, thank you. That's a good question. We have a guidance document prepared for optometrists, which we are finalizing. I expect to make an announcement or posting on that early next week.
And then I heard one more gentleman remotely, I think. All right, if not, is there a final question at the table right here?
I have one more. It was announced that I'd seen something about a hospital getting $8 million for treating, I think it was they treated 100 or more coronavirus patients. What hospital was that?
I don't know the answer to that, but, you know, there's a number of different sources of funding that's going to be flowing to hospitals. So they will be getting some direct payments through federal assistance to the hospitals. You know, in addition, we have some payments that are going from the state to those hospitals for their healthcare workers that have direct direct care responsibilities for their COVID patients. And so it could be a number of different sources in which that money is flowing to those hospitals. Dr. Smith, did you have anything else to add on that? So if you want more information, we'll be glad to check into that further, but that's all the information I have right now. We would have to do some more checking on that. All right. We will, it might be tomorrow we can get that to you, but we will look into that. Thank you for asking it. Thank you all very much for joining us on this Saturday. Have a good afternoon.